I'm not paying attention to any of you guys. Because even I was like, this is not neck and neck. It's not. And I mean, some people thought I was a little bullish. And I did.
Why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me when you say that?
I don't know. I don't know. I just want a moment to be recognized for being made fun of for all this time.
No, 4 months from now, we will have an incredible victory. And we will begin the four greatest years in the history of our country.
Hey, friends, welcome to It Is a Great Day in America. Actually, you know, this is a super unfiltered morning after election day breakdown. I don't even know what this is, okay? I don't know if you're living under a rock or if you're like Rip Van Winkle and you fell asleep for like a month. It is now the day after the election. And
November 6th.
November 6th.
2024.
It is a glorious day because Republicans have taken back the White House. Trump has won the presidency. He has won the popular vote. He has won the electoral vote. We now have control of the Senate and the House. Still,
we're on track.
Is on track, but it remains to be determined. Okay, it is a good day. So
it is a very good
day. I'm like out of breath here. Okay, here.
I know. I mean, if that intro was any indicator, Mercedes is just the most chipper I've ever seen her in my entire life. But otherworldly, like out of body, giddy, shaky, excited.
We did sleep. I did sleep. We slept in like a little bit because usually it's like a 6:30 in the morning. And Rachel's like, I can't do that. You will murder me. So
yeah. Well, I mean, we were up at 5:30 on election day to go vote and be at the polls by 6. So by 12:30. In the morning yesterday, I was like, well, I mean, this morning, I looked at Sean and I said, I think I need to retire immediately or else I don't even know what's going to happen. I felt out of body. I was so tired. And we also hosted a huge party, but we'll talk about that. So I went to bed not knowing what was going to happen. And I woke up and it was like Christmas morning.
It's actually funny because we had a pretty relaxed day here. You know, I just kind of went about my day. I did some stress baking. I did some deadlifting to kind of just get out the nerves and things like that. And then like I settled in with like 11 tabs open on my laptop and the TV on, flipping back and forth between mainstream media and the Daily Wire. And about 1 o'clock, my husband was like, I got to go to bed. I'm tapping out. You had already tapped out.
Yeah.
You had just tapped out, I think, maybe like a little bit beforehand. And I was like, I'm going to stay up until 1:30 and see what happens. Bro, I think it was like maybe 10 minutes later. Fox News first called Pennsylvania. Nobody else wanted to call Pennsylvania, but Fox News
Everybody
called Pennsylvania. I started screaming. Okay. I was like yelling up the stairs.
And probably just entered REM sleep and he darts out of bed.
I woke up the dogs. They all came running down the stairs and my husband came running down the stairs. He's like, what's going on? I'm like, he took Pennsylvania. I mean, he's going to get Alaska. That puts him at 270. Mm-hmm. And it was nuts. And then I'm like trying to text you and I accidentally call you through Signal.
Yes. I did not. I turned my phone off. I had to for my own sanity. We had the exact opposite day where we woke up and were in line with our four kids to vote at 6 a.m. at the community center by our house, which is awesome. And then spent the whole day cleaning the house, prepping food, getting everything set up for, you know, a party that we were going to have. It was amazing. And there was, you know, a lot of people, about 30 children running around the house. And so I'm trying to do my job and like share results and then also pick up, you know, crushed Dorito chips all over the place and also keep track of my baby and hand out juice boxes and refill the, you know, the Hawaiian rolls for sandwiches all at one time. And so by the time most people left, we had, three friends stay until about 12:30. I could barely keep my head up. I was so tired. And I said, Sean, I need to go to bed. He said, are you sure you want to? He was the one who's just like, I feel like we got to stay up. I go, Sean, I'm going to pass out. I need to go to bed. And he is so funny, too, because he hates cable news. And he said, do you mind? Because we set up televisions in our living room. He said, do you mind leaving the TV on all night? Can we leave the TV just going? I'll turn all the volume down. But let's just let it run. Let's just let it go. And then we'll wake up in the morning. I was like, whatever. Okay, fine.
It's like so we went to bed. It's almost as if the results would just like sway over you in your sleep.
Yeah. And so I turned off everything, not knowing what was going on. And I woke up several times in the middle of the night, just like thoughts darting around, or I thought I heard the baby, but I never got out of bed. I just laid there and I see Sean roll out of bed at like 5:15, you know, and he closes the door because he's so polite and he wants me to keep sleeping. And I wake up with a dart, like 6:30, like what? And I turn my phone on. And there's a barrage of texts, but I don't read any of them. And I go to Instagram and I see your story that said Trump won, Rachel went to bed. And then I start looking at the news and I was like, oh my gosh. So I get up and I walk out and Sean is sitting at his office desk in the back with my second born. And they're sitting in there and I walk, like I'm just straggling down the hallway. And they peek their head out and they look at me and they give like this big, humongous grin. I kind of smile. Gosh. And my second born like throws her fists up in the air like, fight, fight. And she goes, we did it, Mom. So, you know, and then we sat down for about 15 minutes and watched CNN cry, which we'll talk about. And then my husband found dead chickens and is like, you go podcast. I got to take care of the dead chickens.
Oh, did they get attacked or something?
No, we just had one that was one of our first ones we got like 7 years ago.
Oh, so, okay.
RIP, tiny, tiny left us last night. But it's a good morning so far.
Yeah, I had a hard time going to sleep last night. I was so jacked up on adrenaline and I'm like following. And then Fox News went ahead and called Wisconsin. And I'm like, it is over. And they announced him as president. And I'm like, yeah, I'm totally freaking out. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed. Yeah. And then I go to bed and I'm like scrolling like another hour or whatever. Yeah. But I lulled myself to sleep listening to, believe it or not, MSNBC. Because I was just
crying, big, salty.
What is talking here? My computer all of a sudden was talking. Anyways,
it was MSNBC.
Whatever. I was like, what just happened? But yeah, I was listening. I wanted to see what MSNBC was crying about. And I guess that soothed me and put me to sleep because I passed out shortly thereafter. And when I woke up this morning, it was Joe Scarborough that was like freaking out in my ear.
That's something I could not even handle that screeching this morning. You know what, though? For people who haven't followed us or maybe, I don't know how, or are hearing this podcast, this specific episode for the first time and has like no context, we might sound like these huge ride or die Trump supporters.
We're not.
You know, that yeah. And that's the thing is we're not necessarily like Trump pundits who are just out there all the time, like his surrogates, just, you know, he's the best thing ever. We both have had our, you know, moments of skepticism about him. I think I'm not going to speak for you, but I think a lot of my excitement is the repudiation and the very clear message that America sent that they are sick of the divisiveness and the gaslighting and how we've been treated. So I am glad that Trump is going to be our next president for a lot of reasons. He's not perfect, but there's a lot of policy issues that I agree with. I am almost equally as excited that she is not going to be president
in my
ever,
stories.
Or our first female president. I'm just very glad for that.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you 100% on everything you just said. Like, in fact, you know, the general thought is a lot of times that if someone is a Republican and if someone voted for Trump, that they're just like a brainwashed Trump zombie follower. And that is the furthest thing from the case. And I think for a lot of people, actually, and I know for me personally, I voted for him in every presidency, but I didn't vote for him in the 2016 or the 2020 primaries. I'm sorry, not 2020, 2024 primaries. So you know what I mean? Like, I only fell in line after he won his nomination. or, you know, mm-hmm. once he got through the primaries, unlike someone we know who was running for president that didn't go through a single primary. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I completely,
and I'm glad this is so clear.
Yeah. And the fact that I literally put that in my stories last night, I was like, yes, I am glad that Trump has won, because I am glad that the Republicans have won. I'm very excited about the team that is behind him. So more than anything, that is really big for me. Yeah. And just like you just said, it's just kind of like a signal of like, we are over this. We're over the media lying. We're over the mm-hmm. divisiveness. We're over the race baiting. We're over yeah. the crap economy. Like, we're done. Mm-hmm. And yeah. this is a resounding, you know, signal to like how mm-hmm. done we are. And so I completely agree with you. And as I said, I put in my stories, more than anything, on top of all that, the fact that Kamala Harris, who is vapid, mm-hmm. unintelligent, and undeserving of yes. being president, the first female president of the United States, I am so relieved that mm-hmm. that is not around her neck or assigned to her for all of history. Because it's yeah. not...
I know.
Honestly, that would have been so depressing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that now, I don't think, I know, just watching the 10 minutes I watched of television this morning, because I wasn't able to watch a lot this morning. That's what the rest of the day is for. but the few moments I watched, you could see in the eyes of the liberal media talking heads, and like I said, I've only watched 10 minutes, but it was pretty clear that they realized they made a huge mistake.
Huge
mistake overestimating her and touting her out as something unique and that people can support. And I think that there's going to be some enormous questions for the Democrat Party, not only in how they handled the situation with Joe Biden, but how they hastily and without any bit of thought or wisdom selected a woman based on what they thought America was, which is people who care more about race, ethnicity, and meeting some kind of quota. And I think it just all fell very flat. And I hope that it produces some soul searching for the Democrat Party. They're always calling for us to soul search. And I think that that does need to happen for the Republican Party. But man, America spoke last night and spoke very clearly. Like, looking at that map,
was crazy. Well, and speaking of that, like, one of the first signs that I saw and one of the first like nice little gems that I watched on X was Jake Tapper on CNN. They were going over, analyzing the improvement of each candidate from 2020 to 2024, you know, county by county. And when they switched the board over to show Harris's improvement, it was zero.
Right.
She did not show improvement at that time. It was not in a single county in the United States. And Jake Tapper was like, not a single one. No, bro, not a single one. And there is this, what do you call it? There's this map, like, or
graphic.
Yeah, this graphic on the New York Times, which is...
It is startling.
It gives me life. I'm like, seriously, pump it into my veins right now.
Can you take a picture, like a screenshot of it, and put it in... Are you adding show notes to this episode?
Yeah, I could take a screenshot of it and put it in
because
the show notes if you guys want to see it.
I wouldn't have understood the like severity of it until you showed it to me.
Yeah.
It's wild. Tell them what it is.
So this graphic is, it's the United States, and it's like a bunch of arrows. And depending on whether it's a red arrow or a blue arrow, it's supposed to show the shift of the electorate count broken down county by county, whether it shifted Republican or it shifted Democrat. And this map is flooded with red arrows. Like, you see like a few blue arrows here and there, but it is basically all red. And so... to give you an example, it says Mr. Trump improved on his 2020 margin in 2,367 counties. His margin decreased by only 240 counties. excuse me, there were 536 counties where too few votes have been counted to be included in this analysis. So we still have another 536 counties to get information on. So, and that's obviously out west. And then the graphic down at the bottom, what, I mean, for me personally, especially after everything that happened with the MSG Puerto Rico debacle, so counties that are over 25% Hispanic, Trump had a shift of 0.9 in 2020. In 2024, it shifted 9.5 points.
Wild.
That is crazy. And that is, in this chart, the biggest shift.
Yeah.
Was the Hispanic vote. Any county that has more than 25% Hispanics, that's the biggest shift, 9.5. And then also even the, he improved on Black counties too, from 2.5 to 4.1. I mean, it's I think the only thing that he did not do, well, no, he shifted all the way across
the board.
Across the board.
It honestly, that map with the arrows, I do want people to see this. And you have to have a New York Times subscription to see it, which hopefully none of you do, but Mercedes and I do, because, you know,
because this is what we do.
but this map is, I just want someone to hold this map up whenever liberals try to paint Trump supporters as a monolith, as
it's all just a bunch of white racist men. That's what they're
saying.
They
have no idea what they're talking about. This is America speaking, and America obviously is minority white now, and this is a majority of the country that is saying no more. I don't you know, lots of voters. He's not my favorite. He's not my brand. I don't like how he talks. I don't like his tweets. I think he's bombastic. I think he can be mean. But I would rather have that and have money in my pocket, security at the border, no foreign wars, some kind of control over my autonomy when it comes to my free speech, my freedom of religion. Those things matter more than what the liberal media highlights all the time, which is why I think they got flat-footed. I really do think that the majority of these legacy media talking heads thought that abortion was going to be enough to bring out all these voters to support this woman who no one knows anything about. And
well, it's not
they're
just
waking
that.
Up realizing it's not enough.
I think they, you know, I think in regards to the issue of abortion, what we have learned from this is that when it comes to the economy, when it comes to inflation, and when it comes to security, abortion doesn't win, especially because those who abortion is really an important and it's a really big issue, they're likely to be in a state that has already codified it in some way. Do you know what I mean? And already has abortion, quote unquote, rights. Right? So it doesn't become as big of an issue when you do what is constitutionally correct, which is make it a state issue. And I think a lot of people probably realize that because of that, that Harris trying to claim that this was about your reproductive freedom and all of the lies that they told about her codifying abortion rights or Roe versus Wade across the nation. Like, she was not able to do that. You can,
and they knew it.
They knew it. And I don't think, unless you were someone who was in a bubble, who was uninformed, like, if you, because I saw this one woman and she was like, you know, as I started to think about it, they, Roe versus Wade was overturned while Harris and Biden were in office. And they had the Senate and the House in the beginning and they didn't do it.
Do it then.
So why didn't they do it? Because
they can't.
Exactly.
Because they can't reverse this. You know, they can't reverse Dobbs a year later. Like, it's just, it's not going to happen. They know it. It's just a very, very persuasive talking point for people who don't either understand how government works or are just so inflamed about the issue that that's all they care about. And they hoped that there would be more women who was everything.
And well, and then.
Wasn't.
Talking about this shift, the other one that jumps out at me is, you know, the it says large population age 18 to 34. So in 2020, it shifted to Biden 3.9.
Yeah.
And now it has shifted to Trump 5.6. So if
which
you're...
also is very interesting, because all we heard over summer is that the youth vote is going to Kamala because she's so brat and she's on TikTok and they have all the social media influencers. And in the end, even that demographic was like, I don't know. And I do think a lot of that is young college men. I think that they are done being talked down to, being told that they need to become male feminists and support their sister and girlfriend's rights to abortion. And they're looking at it like, what is in all this for me? Like, is
well,
there
not
a candidate?
Only that, but I think
I need
the
a
economy. Exactly. The economy was a big issue for them, too, because they're coming out of college and they're seeing how, like, people can't afford groceries and they can't, you know, get out from under their parents. And like, these things matter. Yeah. At the end of the day, these things matter.
Yes.
And
yes,
let me tell you, the mainstream media and the polls got this so wrong. Like, we were told that this was going to be neck and neck, 50-50. It would be days before we would know, possibly a week or something like that. We had the mainstream media pushing all of these disgusting lies and misrepresentations and taking Trump completely out of context, trying to stoke fear and division. And at the end of the day, the mainstream media, either people didn't believe them or simply have shut them off because they don't believe them.
Yep.
And the pollsters, I mean, honestly, why are we polling anymore at this point? We got how many? Now we have 3 presidential elections. Yep. Where they have completely blown their polling.
Yeah. When I, a mom of 4 kids who doesn't even get enough sleep at night, can predict the outcome of the presidential election and the national popular vote to a more precise degree than all of these paid pollsters, just based on watching the news, I'm like, you don't get to have this job anymore. I'm sorry. I'm not paying attention to any of you guys. Because even I was like, this is not neck and neck. It's not. And I mean, some people thought I was a little bullish, and I did.
Why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me when you say that?
I don't know. I don't know. I just want a moment to be recognized for being made fun of for all this time. No, but like, I don't understand. It's like how you and I look at these journalists and go, how are you this overpaid for doing such trash work? Because, you know, the media has to a large degree lied to us for years, and especially in the last 6 months, treated Americans like they are idiots. And and they still get to keep their job. And as far as the pollsters, they're either one of two things: really bad at predictions and reading the American people, or they're too afraid and they didn't want to say what they knew, which was that he was going to win and he was going to win big. Either way, maybe find a new hobby, because
I think honestly, I really think, because if you look at pollsters and all that, it's all under the umbrella of journalism for the most part. Do you know what I mean?
Or they're all talking to each other.
And they're all talking to each other. And I do think there was a level of fear there, because if they actually did come out for, because here's the thing, there wasn't a single outlier for Trump.
Interesting.
Any outliers that popped out, they were for the Democrats. Now, mind you, for example, the New York Times even said, hey, like, The Republicans are not answering the phone. White Republicans, especially, they're not answering the phone. They don't want to parse. Yeah, no.
Right.
No, yeah. Why? So yeah. I'm not going to help you out, because I kind of don't trust you. Yeah. I also don't trust what you're going to do with my information. All right.
Yeah.
So absolutely not. And then the Democrats were just all pumped up because of this Ann Seltzer, Idaho poll that went 5 points. Or Harris, 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about some, I mean, and she's supposed to be like one of the best
of the best. Yep. Not anymore. No,
not
I'm
anymore.
Done with this. I'm done with this. And I think, I hope that this response, electing Donald Trump to another 4 years, really does, I hope, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this more at some point. My hope is that it quiets some of this extremely dangerous, divisive rhetoric, and that it teaches a lesson. Like, don't underestimate the American people. Don't talk to them like they're stupid. Don't try and feed them a narrative so it becomes reality. Stop it. They are not idiots. Okay. And I hope that that message gets through, but I have my doubts.
I don't know. We'll see how the media reports it and how they process everything. I know that I scrolled TikTok and stuff like that a little bit last night, and there were so many tears. Sorry, there was a lot of nice.
No, there was a lot of middle-aged white women crying.
Yes.
Which
yes.
Just and annoying as heck.
I also want to point out regarding to polls, I got a bunch of messages because are you familiar with Lynchman, the Lynchman poll, the keys to the White House? He was wrong too. So, and I remember I was getting DMs about this. They're like, have you seen the Lynchman poll that he says that Harris is going to win? Now, he has predicted, I think, every election since the late 80s. I can't remember exactly when he started, except 2000, which was the hanging chads, right?
24. So,
well, and I was running his keys. I remember when he first announced it, because I was familiar with the keys to the White House. It's, I think, like 7 questions, true or false questions, that will kind of determine who's going to get the keys to the White House.
Yeah.
And every time I ran them, I was like, bro, Trump is going to win. I don't know what you're talking about. And that was his own bias. That
I know.
The only reason he is wrong is because of his own bias. Because if you went through those keys and if you were honest with yourself, which is a lot of it has to do with the performance of the incumbent on whether or not, because historically, everyone's going to be telling you, or not everyone, but the mainstream media is going to be arguing that America is a chauvinist or sexist, or if she wasn't a woman of color, that she would have won. That is a bunch of BS, okay? Because also, by the way, the thing that they're ignoring is that historically, when the incumbent has this low of approval ratings and their economy is this bad, right? And you have this much conflict across the world. Right. Historically, I don't think there has been a at least since Truman.
You don't even have to look back that far. Just look at Jimmy Carter. Like, this wasn't like difficult to figure out what was going to happen, or at least entertain the thought. They just couldn't possibly entertain the thought that he would be elected by a resounding majority of the country. It's beyond their capacity to believe, because they have so spun up this man as an existential threat to democracy. I mean, we're already seeing that in the headlines. I'm chuckling at the New York Times and the Washington Post and CNN and MSNBC trying to report the news that Trump won, but also make sure that the subheadline is, and now we wait for the destruction to begin. And, you know, they just can't even admit that this happened without a layer of all of these Americans put us in danger, because now look at the felon who's in the White House. And they're going to, like you said, I've already heard the sexist talking point. That's because she's a woman, which is, everybody knows that's not why. Everybody, including her. But now, within the short 10 minutes, that's why I'm going to be watching the news today to see how they're going to spin it as we move forward. I've already heard one guy, a panelist on CNN, say he is a black man, and he started blaming black men for starting to support Trump, saying this was uneducated, but it's because of the machismo and it's because he's powerful and black men want that. So he laid it at their feet, and he laid it at white women's feet. He said, this is the second time that white women have needed to come out and support us for abortion, and they once again left us waiting at the altar. And I was like, guy, haven't you seen, did you not learn anything from last night? American people don't want this. They don't want you always dividing everybody by skin color and by ethnicity and socioeconomic level. Like, they don't want it. They're not hungry for that. And that's all that that party represents right now, that and abortion. It's just, it didn't work then. It's not going to work moving forward. Find a new tagline. Find
Absolutely.
A new narrative.
Well, and I had this thought last night, because it's like, I mean, it's been a long road. And I'm thinking, I remember during Obama, and there was a lot of talk, especially, you know, he was finishing up his second term, and there was a lot of talk about how Obama was really concerned about his legacy. Mm-hmm. And he really wanted to make sure that he could solidify his legacy. Now, mind you, his legacy was incredibly divisive. It was all about race. It was all about, like, all of those issues that you just covered, right? And he was desperately holding on or trying to protect his legacy. And everything that has happened since then, this is his legacy.
Okay. Yeah. There and was... you could feel it last night. Did you see his tweets and things like that last
yes.
night?
Just it's like this
so
is
you could like... feel the sadness or the resentment, really.
Give me a break. Like, I know you're going to be upset and everything like that, but this is your legacy. I will literally put it and assign it to Obama. That because yeah. Trump, the initial 2016 was a response to Obama mm-hmm. and the divisiveness that was starting to bubble up, you know, and then I think 2020 was just a weird, you know, obviously with COVID and the election. And also, by the way, I don't want to be like, I don't want to put on a tin hat or anything like that, but just miraculously we come into 2024 and there's like 20 million votes that don't show up for the Democrats mm-hmm. when we don't like things are. Anyways, I'm not going to go too deep into that, but you know, wink, wink, you know what I'm talking about there. Okay. Like stuff was weird in 2020 and here we are in 2024 and Trump has made a comeback and Obama again came out and did his best to help package Harris as Obama 2.0. And the people said, no. First of all, there's no way she would be able to anyways. But in general, the people said, no, we're not doing this again. And I think maybe I'm also hoping, like, if you want to talk about I can't even think of the word because my brain is so tired. But like the Democrats, what I'm hoping is that a lesson learned from the Democrats or maybe a change of heart is that now they will come to realize the importance of our governmental institutions and our practices like the filibuster. Okay.
Right.
And like the Electoral College. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because he just won the popular vote. If they had won the Electoral College, if they had managed to pull off the Electoral College, they would have won.
Yeah.
And now
listen to 4 years of how great the Electoral College was after they have literally said we need to abolish it and we need to pack the court and we need to get rid of the filibuster.
Yeah.
It means nothing to them. It means nothing to them. Those institutions are not sacred when they have power and they can twist and turn them and get rid of them and disregard them and spit on them. But then when they need them, they'll come back.
And because they'll defend it to the death.
Wisdom of our founding fathers when they established these. And really, the filibuster was, I think, probably one of my biggest concerns going into this election.
Absolutely.
Was if they get their hands on that and they have the power to get rid of that and pack the courts, you're looking at a fundamentally different country. And I mentioned that a couple podcast episodes ago, and I'm just so heartened that that will not be the case, at least for the next 4 years.
Well, and just also notice that we won, or our team won, quote unquote, and we're not going like, maybe we should get rid of the filibuster now, right? Since we're likely going to have control of the Senate. And then we can just basically, we can do whatever we want.
You mean like a tyrannical leader would do? You mean like authoritarians do?
Imagine that. Weird.
Yeah, I think that's,
I really hope the
next 4 years are just surprisingly calm and uneventful as much as they can be in 2024 and moving forward, so that at the end we can go, wow, so he really ruled like that evil dictator you said he was going to, huh? Like, I think that they were so off on so many predictions. And I know that the next prediction that they will be wrong about is the fact that he's going to go in there and wipe out all of our long-held American traditions, you know, with a swipe of a pen, which is really what Biden tried to do in
yes.
a lot of situations, and what I think that Harris would have done.
Absolutely. But the great news is, this is also the great news, because of course we've mentioned we're excited that Trump won, mm-hmm. but this is now going to be his second term,
mm-hmm.
and what the Trump team is doing, which is completely different from any time or any presidential elect before. My brain is so tired.
They'll excuse it. They understand.
Is the transition team situation. So typically the transition team doesn't really pick up until they have been announced as president-elect. And
we're
going
in with the team, man. We already have the team.
Well, not only that, but Trump's transition team is privately funded. meaning that there's no governmental little minions that have got their fingers creating influence of trying to get the deep state into, or like the government bureaucracy, the swamp, into Trump's transition team and his potential cabinet. They've been doing this in anticipation way, way before ahead of it being traditionally done. Okay.
Yeah.
And so if Trump, I mean, the Republicans now have the Senate, and if we hold the House, the cabinet of his dreams will be in office. Okay. Yeah. He can get everybody confirmed, and he can get, because this is also judges too. We're talking about judges on like the appellate courts throughout the state. So this is huge. Like, not only do we have a conservative leaning Supreme Court, he will be able to put in more conservative leaning judges at the state and district levels.
Yeah.
And that will have an effect past his 4 years, because of course he can't, he can't go another four. Hopefully we'll, we got a nice deep bench that can take his place afterwards. Yeah. But I just want to emphasize,
it's more than just Trump.
Yeah.
We're betting on a team. We're betting on a more persuasive ideology than, we're going to restore unlimited abortion access. Like, that's all they had. We are restoring an idea that American liberty matters, and you can't just threaten to remove it because you don't like it and then expect people to vote for you. It's just not going to happen.
I mean, this team, I just want to, like, we have people who earnestly and honestly, like, they may not agree on some issues amongst them, but on the most important issues, they're really fighting for them. And it's, these issues of freedom of speech and freedom of religion and being anti-censorship. And we have some really innovative, creative voices coming in. I mean, we have J.D. Vance's VP, Vivek Ramaswamy, Elon Musk is probably going to be some type of advisor,
We'll see RFK, James.
Yes, it is. I mean, what was it? Like, Elon, he had been posting, there was like the sound of him, I think at a Trump rally going around. He's like, this is going to be the greatest time ever. And he's, putting his arms in the air and his belly showing from his too short t-shirt that says Occupy Mars on it. Oh my gosh. What a night. What a night.
Yeah.
And then what's crazy, all of the talking, like some of the things that they're saying is, just let me tell you, the Democrat machine and $1 billion still did not get Harris into the White House. Nancy Pelosi has to be dying right now for pushing Biden out.
Yes, they could have waited. Well, they could have done one of two things. They could have kept Biden, which would have been awful, but I think he would have had a better chance to win than Kamala Harris. And I think they know that now. I think that they're having to reckon with that this morning. Or they could have taken just a little bit of time and let there be an open convention and let people get excited about another candidate and speak up so that they had some kind of sunk cost that where they could say, okay, we're in this weird predicament and this isn't my favorite person, but I'm going to support him or her. No, this Kamala was thrust upon the Democrat voters, and they all lied to themselves for 3 months, as all voters do at times. And they acted like they were okay with it. And for one reason or another, the vote didn't come out like they thought it was going to. And like you're saying, there's a lot of very angry people this morning because I think that they know, dang, we did not play our hand right.
There's a lot of finger pointing going on. There's a lot of pointing out that, like, she raised the most money ever, like historically, $1 billion.
And still lost. Mm-hmm.
The fact that maybe Biden should just not have run for a second term. That's another one. They're going to be pointing the fingers at him too. You know what I mean?
I thought of him this morning. I was like, I wonder what he is thinking right now. Well, if there's a bit of, well,
he's like, I told you so. That's what you get for pushing me out.
Yeah, I know. It's very interesting. I'm curious what each of those, I want to be a fly on the wall of those people's watches this morning while they're drinking their coffee and eating breakfast. I want to hear what's going down.
Well, you saw everyone speculating that Jill voted Republican because she went to her polling like in full
wearing bright red.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably the best she's ever looked, actually. See, red's a great color.
So what do you think the next few weeks will look like until inauguration?
I was just thinking about that, and I don't want to be a downer, but I definitely want people to understand that, and I hope I'm wrong, but just because he's elected, that doesn't mean that the fight for ideas and the fight for truth goes away. And I hope that my predictions over the last couple of weeks are wrong, but I have a feeling that the media is going to double down and get more extreme in their targeting of conservatives and Trump supporters. They're going to double down on misinformation and lies because right now it's all they have then to fight back against the inevitable. And I also think that I'm not even going to make a prediction about, you know, if there's going to be rioting or unrest or anything like that, because we'll find that out pretty quickly within the next couple of days if that's going to be an issue. And I hope it's not. But I think that even more destructive is going to be the toxicity in relationships. I think that people who saw and dealt with a lot of pain during COVID and the fractures in families and friendships and employee-employer relationships and whatnot, I hope I'm wrong, but I just think that there's nowhere for liberals who ardently believe that Trump is a real threat to America. There's nowhere else for them to go but to demonize Trump supporters.
They either have to wake up, which is going to be hard.
And maybe they will. Maybe what the only part that is kind of encouraging is the fact that Trump won so decisively. So maybe people are catching on and going, okay, I'm being lied to. Not all these people are awful. Okay. So maybe I'm wrong. And I hope that I am, but I just feel as if the divisiveness, the division is going to get worse. And I want our listeners to be encouraged to stay soft to the people who will demonize you, pray for them, be kind in the face of lies about you, and just stay grounded in the word of God, because I don't think that it's going to solve all the problems that Trump was elected. I'm certainly glad he is, and I'm glad he's going to be in office, and I really hope for a easier next 4 years, but I don't see all of a sudden, you know,
no, it's not going to be
a
like
little less than half of America coming around and be like, you know what, maybe they're onto something, you know.
I think it'll maybe take some time. I agree with you. I think the initial ramp up and the shock is going to be, you know, I think the media is going to double down. I will say that as I was scrolling, I did see a handful of people specifically on TikTok who were reacting, and these are just normal people, and they were asking themselves that question. They're like, what am I this wrong? What am I not seeing that most of America is seeing? You know what I mean? So there was a little bit of reflection going on.
That's great.
I do think.
Or that's encouraging.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is, like, I think they might, you know, especially MSNBC, like the most trash or the, you know, the most media trash is going to ramp it up, and they're going to freak out. And of course, they're going to fall back on the typical, you know, sexism, racism motives for Harris not winning. But I think I'm much more encouraged with the American people, and maybe it's just my own, you know, belief in the American spirit, that for the most part, you know, we battle things out. We argue about things we may not discuss, but I mean, we may not agree, but in the end, you know, we finally settle. And even if we don't agree with the other side, we become actually tolerant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so my hope is that, you know, the normal people will start to kind of calm down. And I think it will make a big difference once Trump is in office. And I do expect that the economy is still going to, it's not going to be like, we're not going to flip a switch here. It's not going to be immediate. Things aren't going to immediately improve to the point that we are feeling it. It will take a little bit of time. But I think once we are prosperous again, people will settle in even more. You know what I mean? And I have a lot of hope. I really do.
I have a lot of hope in the future, in the immediate future. I'm concerned because it's not, listen, he won resoundingly, but there is still, as of right now, 47% of our country that voted for Kamala. And yeah, some of that is just, I've always been a Democrat, but a lot of that is, I think Trump is dangerous. And if the media, and we'll know within a couple of days, if they are going to go down the path of, they're so burned that they are going to go all in on the Trump is an actual danger rhetoric and spin up America, Kamala's supporters, into believing that he's an actual danger, that can be extremely destructive. And I don't put it past them to now go not accept and reflect and try and, you know, see past all of the, you know, the narrative that's been created. If they don't do that and they go straight to the, okay, America, you need to be scared because this guy is authoritarian that's going to take up the office in 2 months.
It can get hostile really quick. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I am concerned about that. And I'm praying against that, that won't be the case.
Absolutely. I agree. But for the most part, we'll see how things go. We also want to definitely keep an eye on the House, because one of my concerns is that the House will get really close and then maybe there'll be some shenanigans, especially for House seats and the battle for the House. So we do need to keep an eye on that, because the likelihood of, if the House goes to the Democrats, that means the Speaker of the House will be Hakeem Jeffries.
Oh.
Big sigh.
We will be watching all of it. We will be, after a power nap and a couple of snacks, Miss Sadie and I are right back. Just because the election's over, that does not mean the news is going to slow down. To the contrary, I believe it's now going to really pick up, and we got you. We are not leaving you. We have heard from you that you're asking, don't leave us, please. You're saying
we got a lot of those.
And we appreciate that. So we're sorting it out. We're figuring it out. This was a thrown together type of idea that's really turned into something cool, both for Miss A and I's mental health, but also apparently you guys appreciate it too. So give us some time. We're sorting it out. But for the immediate future, we're still here, and both on Instagram and Substack and here.
Yeah.
We got you.
Yeah. So campaign games will be remaining probably through the inauguration, would be my guess.
I would say that's a bet.
Yeah. As campaign games. And then we are kind of working out the details on how we're going to continue post inauguration. So,
yeah.
We're not going to leave you on red and ditch you and ghost you now that the election is over. No, we're here. We're here. We'll be back on Friday for another episode of Campaign Games, telling you how trash the media is, but how glorious America is.
It is. It's a good day to be an American. It really is.
That's right. So we won. I was going to say, what is it? I even forgot our freaking tagline. What was I saying? I don't remember it.
That's okay. It was a long night. They'll give us a pass.
Oh my gosh. All right. That's it. We'll catch you guys on Friday. And it was a good time. Everybody get some sleep and be nice to your fellow Democrats. They're having a rough day.
If you can't be nice and if you can't say something nice, say nothing at all. Don't be too snarky. Although, I mean, I make no promises. I have not had that much sleep, so I am praying before every post I put on Instagram. But
I'm not going to lie. I was like, I wish I had like megaphones I could put in my front yard and just play YMCA.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so petty. I got neighbors. I got to be nice.
We've got to be more mature than that. We got to.
It's hard. All right. All right, folks. We'll see you guys later on Friday for another episode of Campaign Games. We're out.
Bye.
Bye.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.